shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that the verse that this little song is taken from is over there in the Gospels, where it is definitely said that all things are possible with your presence. And we know that, Lord, that it takes your presence to bring forth the ultimate, which is Christ in this hour in the form of the Holy Spirit manifested through human flesh, in order to prove that very ministry here with the prophet, to bring forth a word of reconciliation, not only that, but a word of perfection, a word of final fulfilled prophecy that Adam tried to get to when he tried to reach the tree of life for immortality, but was not allowed, being in that state. But now, Lord, in this very state, in the end of time, we see man standing in the presence of the tree of life, ready to be immortalized, because that time has now run out, those 6,000 years, Lord, and we appreciate that. We know, therefore, as Brother Branham said, your required presence back there, your required presence now brings all things into possibility. And people are looking at their own thoughts and understandings, and they want something, Lord, that you said they could not have. We thank God there's a bride that is standing here waiting for that which you said she could have and will have, Lord, and we wait in expectation for the finalization of your word. Help us, therefore, in the study of it today, because we know that it is the necessary meat. It is the final meat of the hour. And we have the meat in due season, Lord, the fresh kill, people gathering around the somatic carcass, the feeding thereon, to bring them into one accord and in, therefore, to the rapture at the wedding supper. Help us, therefore, Lord, to be very serious and sober, and yet very, very zealous, Lord, very enthusiastic, very hot, not cold or lukewarm especially, but very enthusiastic, Lord, for this word, laying all the things aside, personalities, feelings, everything else, that we might have with you, have brought us already and have it in full revelation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're looking at, I guess it's number 6 this morning, on this message that Brother Branham brought. The spoken word is original seed, is the original seed. And we realize it was based upon something that God gave him to write down. Now this does not constitute a setting aside of any of the word of the other prophets, but this is sort of a bringing together, an epitomization of what came forth from Genesis to Revelation. And when Brother Branham was speaking from the first chapter of Ephesians, which he never even told us he was doing that, he merely brought it under Daniel's 70th week, where he said the Spirit of God comes into the church to let the church know the hour in which he was living into place the church, and to bring forth the mysteries, the great mysteries in the Bible. And of course, that verse of scriptures, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Now, when you're looking at a spirit of revelation and the knowledge of him, you know positively that's Matthew 16. Flesh and blood cannot reveal it. It takes God himself to reveal it in the proper and the right season. And of course, this is the prophetic message, the epitomization, the literal presence of Almighty God, the vindication that he is here, the vindication of the prophet, that he is vindicated to bring the absolute vindicated word. So, as we look at this, a little writing that the Spirit gave him, it's not just little, it's great in magnitude, but it's not very long, just a few pages. Brother Branham is now going back in retrospect and telling us why he preached what he preached and why he acted the way he acted. Then is projected to the future, his future ministry, which of course was consummated in 1965, December, well, literally December the 24th, he died on that day, but he was actually incapacitated a week ahead of that particular time. And so what you see here then is a looking forward to the seals, where it opened in March of 1963 and literally closed in the body. I think it was brought December the, well, let's see, went into into Yuma, December the 4th, 1965, and ended about 1 week later. So except for the little sermon of communion preached in the tabernacle there in Tucson, this would be the culmination of the seals having opened to us, and in there will be everything that is said in this. Now, at the same time, he gives us an historical background by the scripture, because you notice everything runs in cycles. It says, which of the prophets did you not kill? Which of them didn't you literally try to destroy? Even Christ the great prophet was destroyed. And in there also he mentions how often I gathered you together, and they would not gather by the prophets, nor by those in the fivefold ministry, or by even the reading of a word or hearing of a particular word that was given to them word by word in some particular manner which God had instituted. So, all right, as we look at this, we want to notice that, as usual, from what we read last night, Brother Branham speaks at great length in setting forth the vindicated prophet in his ministry. And this is what it is about, more than anything else. Of course, he does tell a certain amount of what is going to transpire, what is in the ministry of that particular prophet. Now, he compares his ministry to Moses and Elijah. Now, you'll notice that it is a comparison. Many people want to take what Brother Branham said, and they want to make it fit him 100%. But remember, Brother Branham said that Moses did not have Noah's message, wherein Moses would say, let's build an ark and float it down the Nile. And so neither did John the Baptist have somebody else's message, although he was Elijah, in the sense that the spirit of Elijah was upon him. You notice that John did not do any miracles. It's a strange thing right there. He wasn't vindicated as to the miraculous that many people would want him to be vindicated to. But you see, he was not a word prophet that was bringing a new word. He was merely a prophet who was explaining, just like Brother Branham said here, about the Spirit of God coming into the church and showing the church the hour in which it lived, placing it, and revealing the mysteries. Well, the great mystery was Messiah. And the great mystery today is still Messiah, the very presence that, as I said, so many preachers are now teaching and believing, but they simply relegate it to a doctrine like serpent seed. If you can take the literal presence of Christ and relegate it to a doctrine, even though Brother Branham said Jesus is the doctrine, and relegate it to a doctrine of serpent seed, I would just say this: you better wake up and come to Christ and get born again, because in my books you don't have it. There is no way that you can possibly convince me that you can simply call this a doctrine. It is not a doctrine anymore. It is an actual reality. And let's face it, it's already expired, because that presence in there was indicative of the literal presence himself. But this was that prophet spoken of in the Bible. And if you listen to anybody, you listen to him. It's the very same thing we're looking at today. In fact, this is Christ's greatest hour, what he was looking forward to. What was he looking forward to? To come to the place where he could have a church in his image and glorified, taken to the wedding supper. The whole wind-up, the Bible finished, as Brother Branham talks in this particular little message here. Okay, so therefore, you must not be led astray to believe that William Branham was going to be a duplication of Moses, a duplication of Elijah, a duplication of Jesus Christ, a duplication of Paul, right down the line. He's not saying that. He's illustrating that he will be in like manner in his own particular setting and his own particular ministry that God has given him. And remember, that ministry is the Word, and the Word ministry message is his presence. My ministry is to declare that he is here. And remember, the ministry was a message that foreran the literal second coming. And we showed you that last night, that God himself, that one that indwelled him, that did the works, that was manifested in that particular flesh, the body, as Brother Branham called Jesus. So don't be fooled by that word. That word can go right back to God himself, not just the body there. See? So now, We find here that this very hour, we find this great one here has come on down, and Brother Branham's own ministry is to declare that he is here, which is that message that foreruns the literal second coming, which is the meeting in the air where he comes to his people in a absolute flesh form. As Brother Branham said, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, that will be the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Lily of the Valley, the altogether lovely. It'll be the one, absolutely again, the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, the supreme deity can only be in reference to Almighty God himself, and this is in the incarnation. These are things to be hard to understand. I don't pretend to understand them at all. I know they're there, and I can't explain them. And if you don't realize that it's going to be a matter of a bride really knowing this word and won't be making mistakes in it, not that everyone has to know exactly everything, every single thing. Brother Branham, I know he illustrated to Billy Paul. I wasn't there, but I take his word for it. He said, Billy, you can be in the message this much or know it this much and make it. And this much, he said, which indicated a great deal of understanding and knowledge, and not make it. Now, they would not lie then in the amount of knowledge, you know, but the depth of what you do know, whether you're thoroughly consecrated to it, and you are that portion of it which you are believing. In other words, you're identified to it, and you stand with it, and you don't make any move from there. Live, die, sink, or swim. This is all there is to it. You don't go running around looking for this, that, or the other thing, something else to give you an encouragement or anything whatsoever. You're sticking with this message, live, die, sink, or swim. Now, that's all you can come to. Okay, now, notice in these illustrations Brother Branham used concerning his own self. Now, he's not Moses, but the same God is there with him. The same God is with Elijah. Now, Moses had conflict of the church leadership. And that conflict of the church leadership, you know, was people like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the elders who rose up against him. Now notice what he says about the people at that time. They fell for Korah's lie, which means, hey, all of us have the Holy Ghost. We don't need anybody to come and set us in order. Now that's what everybody always taught me. Hey, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you have got the Holy Ghost. I don't care. See? Even John the Baptist, coming from his mother's womb, full of the Holy Ghost, without that pillar of fire talking to him, knew nothing about anything. And knew anything about nothing. But you got to stand it, understand it. Because he said, that one told me that upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, that one is the Son of God. Now don't tell me he would have known that outside of God talked to him. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, you say, well, God talks to me, bless God, and your wife has got the Holy Ghost, and God talked to her, bless God, and you're fighting over the doctrine, ain't neither one of you got the Holy Ghost. Not in this hour, because you take it to the Word and find out and both become submissive. Now, I don't want to shock anybody as to how far we can be wrong in our own thinking. But I can take you, I would say, to maybe out of 20 places, Brother Brown has spoken of the baptism with the Holy Ghost as to exactly how it comes. And in most of the places he will tell you, he believes exactly like Charles Fuller and those other people who said you're born again, then you get filled with the Holy Ghost. In one place he said, I know of, in fact, I think there are two. He said, you are born again by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now let's say there are 20 places in there where Brother Brown has said exactly opposite to the other. So I'm going to take the 18 out of the 20. You'd be 100% wrong. You say, well, Brother Vail, I'm going to throw my hands up and walk off. Go ahead, be my guest. Well, I'm trying to show you people don't know what they think they know. For 4.5 hours, I argued with Brother Branham until I finally said, are you trying to tell me that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and rebirth is one and the same thing? He said, now you got it, Doc. And then I exploded. Says, hold it right there, boy. I'm a short-fused individual. You know that by now. But I don't mean anybody any harm. Just mean don't fool with me. I leave you alone, leave me alone. I don't spend your money, don't try to spend mine. I don't flirt with your wife, don't try to flirt with mine. I don't come to your home and run you. Don't try to run my home. In other words, hands off. I am short fused. You know it. That's my cardinal sin. So I was angry. Completely confused and distressed. And I said, hold it right there. Not so much anger as complete confusion. Why do you say those things? If something else is there. See? So he settled it. And I settled on the grounds of one thing, that he was the boss. He had thus set the Lord. And if I misunderstood, it was my tough luck. Now you see, if you're 100% sincere with that vindication, God will bring you around, because the word always corrects the word seed that is has an interference up here. Okay. How many people are going through my experience, and you will have to be just like me in this, because you're no different from me. None of us are any different from anybody else when it comes to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. The measure of the baptism, the measure of faith is another thing. The measure of ministry is another thing again. But it is faith that is the revelation. And that basic revelation is going to be there leading and guiding us according to what measure of faith, of revelation, is necessary for furtherance. But are you willing to have every prop torn from underneath you to come to the revelation that Brother Branham actually gave us? See, until you come there, there's nothing going to come to you beyond that. Now, that's why 8 people make the ark. And that's why there's so many foolish virgin alongside of the few wise virgin. Now, we'll get this in this sermon here. You're going to see something. Don't worry. If you don't understand this, you'll not get to the seals. If you don't get Daniel 70 a week, you don't understand seals. You got to understand. All right, now this man Moses was the leader, and the church elders, like in the time of Paul, and like they will always do it, the people that should know better, but they're wanting some kind of authority and power, they want a following, so they manipulate the people either by gifts, which Pentecost does, or they do it by the sheer force of vulgar tyranny within the church, where the pastor acts like a pope, and worse than a pope, and wants to just lead the people by the nose and bilk them and milk them, do everything else. All right, now this is what you see in Brother Branham's ministry, the same thing that was in Moses' ministry. See? Now, that's the clergy messing things up. But he also says, my ministry is like that of Elijah. Now go back in history. What was Elijah's ministry like? The history is that the state religion, which was a mixture of the Canaanite religion and the true God, see, were in authority and control, and they said, we'll destroy you if you don't listen. Now, remember, Brother Branham said Revelation 13 is 100% America based upon Israel. Now, let's look at a state-dominated religion. They have the power of life and death. Now, let's see how things work out. Because the mills of God grind exceedingly slow. What religion is Turkey? Mohammedan, Muslim, right? Certainly not Christian. All right. What is Iran? What is Saudi Arabia? What is Iraq? Where did they come from? They invaded America. I mean, Europe. Now, Malcolm X is out for violence. So he goes to what I think they call a Hajj, which is a trip to Mecca or somewhere. And in there he is impressed by the great love and the great empathy and the willingness of the people to do anything at all for each other. And he comes back a changed person. phony as a $3 bill, because Islam is a religion of the sword. The unspeakable Turk killed millions. Why is there war right now in Yugoslavia? It is ethnic and it is religious. When those people came in there and destroyed and pushed back the Greek Orthodox Church people and destroyed them, took the land over, in 500 years, the mills of God having ground slow, the clock has made a full turn, and now they're reaping what they're sowing, and they're belly aching, and they're crying. Why hasn't America and the nations moved in? The Pope could stop that war in 15 seconds, I really believe. The beast could do it, but he won't do it. Now, you might think I'm calling for blood. I'm not. I'm just telling you history. You see, state-controlled religion tried to kill Luther. And if there hadn't been a body of barons and nobles rise up, they would have got him. But it precipitated a war. They that take the sword will perish by the sword. Luther never took the sword. He had to stand with it. He did make a big mistake when the peasants' rebellion. We know that. But just the same, even Elisha called out the bears to destroy the kids, which he shouldn't have done either. So don't blame Luther. He wasn't a prophet. He was a reformer. So what I'm trying to show you here is, at the time of Brother Branham, there is coming in state-controlled religion. And the first thing they do is they take away Christianity, and they do so on the grounds of the fact that the First Amendment has been 100% grossly violated in the separation of church and state. Now they're ruling you cannot pray in school, you cannot read the Bible in school, and this is called for by a minority of people, and our laws, controlled by the majority, which is democratic, has kowtowed to them. Now, where do you think you're sitting today? You think they won't close this church when they want to close it? You think they won't put us and our kids to the sword if they want to do it? You better believe you're sitting here and the squeeze will come down. Don't fool yourselves. Because that's exactly what happened. If it had not been for the power of God, Elijah, who stood there with the remnant of 7,000 out there who hadn't bowed the knee, there would have been the liberation and obliteration. But you better believe under this ministry, there is a stabilization, and nobody but nobody who that little remnant is that hasn't bowed the knee, bowed within the heart. And stood, live, die, sink, or swim, this is it. See, what you never mind trying to compare Brother Branham with Elijah, though, hey, this. Forget it. Just remember he's talking about the conditions of the particular time. And at least you'll be square and fair there until you come to another place. See, all right. Each illustration that Brother Branham used is couched in the setting of God's desire to fulfill his promise, and man unaware or not even wanting it, and those that want it are in a state of misunderstanding. The air has not been cleared. The air is cleared under Moses. It is cleared under Elijah. It is cleared under Jesus. The whole truth is ushered in under the Apostle Paul. And at the end time, there's a total misunderstanding in this hour. Because already you've got state-controlled religion. In other words, they're controlling our religion. They haven't said you got to be a Trinitarian at this point, but they will. Oh, yes, it's coming. Just the same as when Calvin got too interested in the Trinity, and he wasn't even born again, and he decided to destroy Severinus. Then he said, well, I really didn't think they would kill him, but they burned him at the stake for believing in one God. So you see, there was a total misunderstanding there, and there was a total disruption of what the Word of God calls for, because the state is in control. Now, the state controls Germany. That's exactly right. Zwonko hasn't got a prayer for anything because he's not a Lutheran. You go to Norway and Sweden, Brother Branham couldn't even pray for the sick there because he wasn't a Lutheran.
But God raised the dead child in Finland, and I saw the letter that came from the president of Finland.
Well, Brother Bill, where is it?
I'll tell you. I won't tell you the name of the guy that Brother Branham told me had to be the one to destroy the records. Yeah, the one that turned him into the IRS when there's nothing to turn in for. Oh, sure. Now, listen, you're walking on eggshells today, spiritually speaking. You talk about Jesus saying that a man's enemies are those of his own household. Mother against the daughter, father against the son, and vice versa. You better believe that day is right here, right now. Because straight is the way, narrow is that gate, and few, F-E-W, there be that find it, not 8 million people or 10 million or 20. And you won't see airplanes hurtling across the sky when the lovely, wonderful pilot that's born again. Ha! How many born again? Read the, what happened. The stewardess is fiddling in the cockpit with them while the plane on automatic pilot. They all could have been killed. Don't bank on it that the pilots are born again. Don't bank on it the bus driver's born again. Don't bank on it the tribe, the tram, either the engineer or the conductor born again. 8 made the ark. So therefore, if you have a possession in you this morning from Almighty God, how great is that possession you have? That great pearl of price. You have that treasure hid in the field. You have what you've been looking for. And if you don't realize that, now is the time for the awakening, because that was the condition of the people when John the Baptist came. They had conveniently forgotten already. Not only John's supernatural birth, the supernatural vision, the supernatural prophecy. See? The slaughter of the innocents. Everything went by the board as they went down that road. Now, when the people are ready, according to Scripture, as in the time of Pharaoh, hard at heart, and in the Sodom generation, at this hour, as it was at the hour of Noah, the prophets came and do come, and now and through them the people are made ready. Now remember, these scriptural settings are examples. And what we have today is what we've looked at many times, and I keep on telling you because I want you to get this. Otherwise, you'll never understand where Brother Branham, over beyond the curtain of time, and they're being interviewed. And he said, well, I want to see Jesus. So you're not going to be able to see him. He'll come to you, but you can't go to him. And when he comes, he'll judge you by what you preached. And he said, I preach what Paul preached. And the multitude answered, we're resting on that. All right. Paul is speaking. He said in the first chapter, 2 Thessalonians, and you are troubled, rest with us. Come into relaxation. Put up the oars. Brother Branham said, we're on a ship. It's stabilized. The stabilizers are in place. We're going to crest every wave. Now, you that are troubled in a time of trouble, you can come to the place of relaxation. When is that? It's the time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. We really believe that took place out there in Tucson. You say, what if you made a mistake? I don't believe it at all. You made a mistake. The prophet said so, that's it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance. Now, you see, there's the interpolations where everybody goes plumb off a cater. You read it, and that throws into your mind that which is contrary to you in the Scripture. Now, it should really read, to you are a trouble, relax with us. At the time when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. That the world's going to be set on fire doesn't relax me. See? That he's going to judge the world, that doesn't relax me. What does relax me? Here, when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What day? The day of trouble wherein you get relaxation, you have it because of Paul's message. And yet 2,000 years ago, they were preaching in the first age another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. What chance 2,000 years later has anybody got? Not a snowball chance in hell. Unless God does something. Listen, if you got a little tiny bit of rot on an apple, the whole apple will be gone if something isn't done. That's why God says, I will restore, saith the Lord. Everything that rock, that little insect, in four different stages, completely destroyed. In age number 1, 2, 3, 4, he began to bring it back in 5, 6, and 7. See? Remember, 4 was the middle candlestick, the furthest from it. But 4 also spells deliverance. So immediately at the end of that age, there came the messenger, which was a reformer, not a prophet. Well, he could prophesy. He hit things on the head. Now, here's what I say you're looking at. And at the same time, God has two hands, left and right. Gerizim and Abel. He never comes without a blessing. He never comes without a curse. You can't help it. Left hand, right hand, sheep, goats, you name it. So every time Paul knowing that, thinking and believing the people would know it, because they should know it, he can say here on the left hand, he's come with flames of fire. But don't worry about it. It's on the right hand is where you are. Come, you blessed, inherit the kingdom. Because you are the recipients of the former rain twice given. Or given a second time. In the time of the latter rain. He plants the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent. Now that's a big one right there. Who is the serpent? What is he? The old boa constrictor. Great big giant man. Handsome, beautiful individual. Look more like a man than a man. If you don't believe in serpent seed, how come you're seeing the people become so big? Remember years ago in America, the opera seat was a little tiny seat? Well, you've read that many times. What is it, 12 inches, 13 inches? A 12-year-old kid can't get his butt in the 13-inch seat, whatever they had in those days, let alone the people today. Come on, let's face it. The premium's on big and better. Great big basketball players, great big football players, great big. If you're 7 feet tall, you got it made. Hogwash. Adam wasn't the giant. Giants never came from his seed. The Rephaim never came from his seed. They came from the serpent. He plants the seed of the entire Bible. From the serpent to the prophet who's in the latter rain but brings us the former rain. In other words, this is the epitomization. This is the warning. This is what you look out for. This is what you're expecting. What is the church expecting? Been the fundamentals for years and years, a little glimpse of light. To go into the grave as solid, beautiful Christians, coming up 100% glorified in the same body the Lord Jesus Christ has, there'll be a transfiguration of those standing here. They'll all be brought together in a rapture to meet the Lord in the air and go to the wedding supper and come back at the designated time to take the earth over. Well, this is what it's all about right here. Now, you've heard Brother Branham say on different occasions, we know it will be done, but the thing is we don't know how it'll be done. This is telling you what and how. All right. So, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and 10 is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a military command of order to put the church under divine authority with the voice of the archangel to raise the dead and the trumpet of God to gather them together for the wedding supper. Now, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's certainly true. We'll have a resurrection first. And you better believe 7 will come up first, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but in the raptures, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Last first and the first last. Now that's thus saith the Lord in the scripture, and Brother Branham explained it. All right. This is taken from Joel. Now I hope you don't think I'm just repeating all of this for the fun of it, because it'd be much easier simply to go to read and just do something different. But I'm doing this as I'm feeling my way along, that I know the thing comes together. In the second chapter of Joel, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Now that goes two ways. That's Israel and also the Gentile bride. Because remember, the word in Revelation is God will destroy those that destroy the earth. And let's face it, where do you usually find the great emphasis on destruction, Gog and Magog? And who destroys the earth more than Russia? You go in there now and it's irreparable. There's no way you can bring back those things from Chernobyl, and that's merely the tip of the iceberg. Europe is gone. America's gone. And let's face it, because of jobs, it's going to get worse. Because nobody wants the long cure, they want the quick cure. And there's no quick cure antidote in the offing. Yea, the Lord will answer and say it unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you should be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. That can go both ways too. But I will remove far from you the northern enemy, and will drive him into land barren and desolate, and his face toward the east coast, his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor have come up, because he had done great things. Do you think that Russia and that country's not stinking right now? Their barbarous dictators have been revealed to the world. The stupidity of communism has been revealed. They were beat at their own game. Yep. They beat at their own game. They couldn't make a go, but they already started to stink. Now, at this particular time, the stink is setting in. It says, fear not, O land. Here's the blessing. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord God will do great things. Be not afraid, you beast of the field, and you spotted owl up there in Oregon. Yeah. People make light, and they say, well, this is where I have it in for Limbaugh in this particularity, because he doesn't see that you can absolutely get along with nature, and you better get along, because God's against it if you don't. They say, well, the great life is man. And so, therefore, if the spotted owl's got to go to give these people jobs, let it go. If Limbaugh understood serpent seed, he would know this, that he's saying, let's eliminate the innocent, beautiful creatures of God and let the serpent seed live. Hogwash. God's going to kill the whole bunch. And he'd bring back his beautiful nature and his animals, he'd burn, but he won't bring back serpent seed. See, Limbaugh's like Reagan and all the rest, they're big-mouthed. They talk out of both sides of their faces and don't even know they're doing it. I like Limbaugh. He's a voice in the wilderness, but he's not going to get off the ground. He'll puncture his tire one day. He'll likely shoot him, and he'll find something they can do with the bird. Because he hates liberalism, but he doesn't know where it's coming from. And he's trying to associate conservatism, as though it were from God, with the conservative part of the Republicans. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, though Brother Branham said he were here today, he looked like a straight-laced businessman. Hair is cut the same way, dark suit knit up. But Jesus is not a Republican. No. No, he's an authoritarian, theistic individual who knows that only God can set things in order and do the things right. Now it says, for the pastures, the wilderness do spring, and the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Now this is the promise of God. Be glad, ye children of Zion. That's the bride. Rejoice in the Lord your God. Brother Branham said so. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you again the former rain, even the latter rain in the first. Now people got the word month in there. That is not true. It's interpolated. In other words, the former rain, which is the teaching rain, which came first, is going to come back again and abundantly. Why? Because it couldn't be fulfilled then, but it's fulfilled now. And that's why Brother Branham said, oh, how wonderful. Just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it, which means positively now we've entered into rest and the word can be fulfilled, which couldn't be before. Now, this is where we have our rest. And if you can't get past the vindicated prophet, the vindicated message, that's all right. You're doing the best you can. And it said, the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats overflow. What floor? Got a thoroughly purchased floor, gather the wheat into the garner. And it's going to be full. You say, well, if God's got all this great big space, how come he doesn't have millions more? That's because he didn't want them. Big isn't better. That's the American bunch of hogwash. Well, if 1,000 milligrams of sea are good, I'll take 10,000. Yes, and you'll get dysentery. Better cut back. Well, I tell you, vitamin D is awful good, so I'm going to take pyridoxine. I'll take number 6 here, and I'll take that. Now, if you don't put the others in balance, you'll ruin your body. Big isn't better. You know what's better? Straight's the way and narrow's the gate. It's a short run with God. People think it's a big run. What's 6,000 years in eternity? Come on, let's look at the picture, brother, sister. Now he said, I'll restore to you the years that the locust, the canker worm, locust canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the great army which I send among you. Remember how that God raised up Babylon to bring Israel to town? He keeps doing it. That's why the Saracen went in there and different ones. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of your God that had dwelt wondrously with you. Notice that now? Wonder, what does it mean wondrously? We tell that's the Old Testament language, the Psalms, the wondrous things that God did. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? God prepared a table. Then he duplicated with Elijah out there, fed him out there. Yeah, brought their evenings, brought him food. This wilderness of government and religion mixing with government taking more and more control. Until they say you can't preach against sodomites anymore, we can run you in prison, hamstring you. Well, let them hamstring me. I'm going to stop preaching against it. No way, shape, and form. See? I don't have to accept those birds. But they want laws passed, I've got to accept them. When they pass those laws, it means they can come in this church and do what they want. That's why we got it under protection of 3 trustees, and we'll go from there. Yeah, let's see how far they press us. Let's see where we press them. If shove, you know, comes to push, that's the way it is. No problem. See? Paul appealed to the law. We got no problems here. We'll just see what happens. Now it says, you'll know I'm in the midst of Israel. I'm in the midst of you. And I'm the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. From this point on, it's all over. God takes over. God in the midst, aggrandizing himself. And it shall come to pass afterward. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters prophesy. Your old men see dreams and sins. And also upon my servants. 2 groups of people. Everybody's included upon all flesh. This is where the two spirits are almost 100% identical. And the only way you can tell them is give them the word test. Don't give them the gift test. They'll run you 1,000 times to 1. See? And now notice, and I will show wonders in the heavens, earth, blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. Great tribulation sets in. And it'll come to pass, which shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. What's the name of the Lord? The revelation of God's word. You're not going to call the name of the Lord. You've got the same thing right today. What are those Mohammedans, those Islams doing in Dayton? Why, they're appalled at what's going on over there in Europe. Are they appalled? What religion is there in Somalia? They want us to go over and do something about everything. What about the Sheikh of Arabia? Kuwait? Iran? Iraq? Why don't they send money? Why don't they do something? Their religion is phony as a $3 bill. It's all talk. They say, well, listen, hell is just another name for God. Which God? It's their own heathen God. So these are Semitic. Who says they're Semitic? Prove it. Where's the genealogy? Huh? Any thinking person that has any brains left to think right will come down to what I was talking about this morning. 8 people made the ark. Their percentage is so low that it is pitiful. And even the Bible said to Christians, thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Which means to bear it, not take it as though I'm cursing. It means that I'm a Christian and then act like those birds out there. I believe in this message. What woman can say she believes this message and put on shorts and tights and bob her hair? What man can say he believes this message and turns down the truth? A proper headship within the church and the home and those places ordained to be. Okay? Call upon the name of the Lord, my foot. What name? This is the condition the church is in, and this is the hour that the prophet is on the scene, and this is the hour that Matthew 12, which nobody knows but us Branhamites, us true bride, believer, word, seed, germatized Christians. Amen. That's the way to tell it, Brother Bill. That's what it is. You know, I very seldom amen myself, but it's just to get a little rise out of everything here. Listen. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 15, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself thence, and great multitudes followed him. He healed them all, and he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And he shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax not quench, till he send forth victory unto judgment, and his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now it tells you right there exactly what's happened. When he went to Israel, there is no way, but he strove. He cried in the street. He was angry. He fought with the people in the temple. And the bruised reed he certainly did break, the smoking flax he quenched. But he doesn't do that today. So therefore, the full manifestation of Christ is to the Gentiles. And in his name do the Gentiles trust. Why? Because he's not here in flesh. But he's here manifesting himself as the living word of Almighty God, which God is his own word. Rhema Logos is right in our midst, has been for a long time. And he's got complete headship of the bride. The little boat, the little ship, the stabilizers are all in place, cresting every wave. There's a bride that's going right into eternity. Now you better believe it, because that's the truth. All right. This is what we were looking at. Where Brother Branham said they fell for Korah. His lie, the God-given prophet. The God-proven prophet, and God knew. He knew what Israel would do, and he likens it to America right today. Then over in 61, in the latter rain will come forth a Mount Carmel showdown. Where was what was Mount Carmel? The proof of the living God. You say, well, Brother Branham, did he face all of those people and have some kind of a showdown? He certainly did, and it was in India, and nobody caught on. Right where all the heathen are. And there was a man with his eyes completely eaten up by looking at the sun, the great sun god. He was going to be a great holy man, and he became a bum in the streets. Looking for a handout. So Brother Branham, knowing what God had just told him, that man there will get his new eyes. So he challenged the James and he challenged the Shiites. There's all your Muslims sitting there. All these great guys that Malcolm X is glorified in. Oh, great, 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 great hogwash. Let's get the truth. Judgment of God was in that place that day. And I'm not going to draw away from it because I'm judged and you're judged because we know these things. Say what you want. And I'm not some despotic preacher to take you by the nose and make you think anything different. You're sitting here. You want to sit here. If you don't like the way I preach, go on. Stay for dinner, though. We'll feed you. Take care of your belly, because that's all we can do for you. Your hearts are gone. Let's understand. I control nobody. But I preach this word. Listen, at that time when Brother Branham was there in India, and God said, that's the man sitting there. And he said, all right. He said, you come up here in the name of your God. That's Allah, baby. Come on up here and pray in the name of Allah. Oh, they sat there. He said, listen, a while ago you were arguing. You're very vociferous, but you're very quiet. Come on up. When he got through lowering the boom on the Mount Carmel showdown, he said, now what if I pray in the name of my God? To the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man gets healed. Then who is God? Oh, yeah. They didn't think he could do it. Just like Elijah. He said, let fire fall. We'll tell who's God by fire. And they said, well, this ain't going to happen, so it's easy. We'll just enjoin him. We'll make him look like a stupid fool. For these Muslims had more brains than those birds back there. They wouldn't even come forward. So when he prayed in the name of Jesus, the man got those eyeballs and he saw. And you know what they tried to do? They tried to mob Brother Branham to just touch him as though he had God in him, you know. Some, oh, fat, you talk about nuts. How many got changed? Did Dan Rather, if he were living, would he have, at that time, a reporter, would he have carried it? Would Eric Severide? One of those long John Henrys, would they have done it? Especially Brinkley. Huntley? No, they wouldn't carry it. Would our government say something? Would the Pope say something? Would the Patriarch say something? Would the President say something? Would the Archbishop of Canterbury say something? No, not at all. And this thing, as Paul said, was not hid in a corner. Oh, they didn't have any trouble with James Baker. They could throw him in prison, which, poor guy, I guess he deserved, but I feel sorry for him. You just take one look at him, you'd feel sorry for him anyway, he and his wife. They were appeared on television, they'd blow the tube out. I understand that perfectly. But no, they couldn't bring the truth. We had a Mount Carmel showdown amongst the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Jesus came for a transfiguration showdown. That's what we have right now in his Epiphany's great hour. This forerunner of the last days will sow the former rain. Jesus will be the showdown between creeds and dogmas, which is the word. That's going to separate. All right, now, getting back to the last little bit we didn't read last night. He's talking about the Pentecost of taking signs and wonders, and even blood and oil, and try to imitate him with discernment, which doesn't work because Brother Branham alone had discernment. Nobody else had it, nobody else will. That's a foregone conclusion. And he said, give him blood and oil and everything else. Now, God never placed signs ahead of his word. Now, the point is, how do you know it's the word? See, this is the thing where Brother Branham constantly talked of vindication to bring the word. Then it seems like he lays an egg here. He doesn't. He expects by now we know where he's coming from. What is a prophet? A word prophet. He comes in the name of the Lord with thus saith the Lord. And if that thing doesn't come to pass, you don't listen. That signs before the word vindicating the prophet. It is not signs following the word because the word hasn't yet come. Huh? Right. Now after the word comes, you can be anointed and anything's yours because it becomes simply a promise. That's why the harlot gets in the prayer line and she gets healed from the venereal disease when some lovely little Christian lady who's followed God for 85 of her 90 years with her arthritis, she still goes away with it. She doesn't let her faith loose. God's got her ready. It's up to us to let her faith loose and believe in him. People tell you, well, I've been a Christian for 40 years. Why didn't God do something? Why didn't you do something? Why don't you sow unto God to reap righteousness? The fruits thereof. I keep saying, I've said it for years, but I don't follow too good. I'm one of those lousy preachers. Don't do as I do as I say. But when I do as I say myself, it always works. Watch your sowing. Watch your sowing. Watch your sowing. Watch your sowing. If you want radishes, don't plant lettuce seeds. Oh, my goodness. I thought. What does it look like? You didn't read the label. Or if you didn't have a label, why don't you put a few in the springtime, read early, with a bit of water and blotting paper and see what comes up? Why don't you make a little run on, a little test on? See, sowing, sowing, sowing. So what you sow, you eat. Now, signs following the word is actually nothing anymore because what they've done is taken that portion of the word and neglected the rest. And whatever portion you take, that's what you'll be satisfied with. At the end time, it's a complete spectrum leading you to immortality. Now, Brother Branham said, to prove it, take the word first, he said. And so they should. To prove it, and I said to one, bake me a cake first. Then watch the miracle happen. Come to the word first, then watch the miracle. Well, that's what he's saying anyway. Well, come on. Let's read it again. God never placed signs ahead of the Word. So what do you do? You go to the Word. That's a big thing. Now he says right here, God never placed signs ahead of it, and yet he said, they were eight added for proof of the Word, but the Word first said, bake me a cake first. Now he's talking about these false anointed. What happened? They went to the Word that's been vindicated, but they only took what they wanted. That's in the book of Psalms. God will give you the desire of your heart, but your soul will be barren. Well, God, I want healing. God, I want prosperity. God, I want this. God, I want... You'll sure be my guest. You believe you'll get it. What about your soul? Wasn't that the rich man that opened his eyes in hell? Where do you think he got his start? Being the firstborn son, no doubt, he inherited the property from his dad. It was his. Everything laid up by his dad was his to perpetuate the family name, carry the light down. What does the Scripture get from Almighty God? What does the Spirit get from Almighty God, even the anointing? What does his promises get from Almighty God? So they took it. You'll see that Brother Branham said that. All right, to prove it, Elijah said to them, bake me a cake first. Then watch a miracle happen. Come to the Word first and watch the miracle. Now remember, he's talking about the big miracle of you and I being transfigured. The big miracle that comes out of the Word. Don't major on a minor. We're majoring on the major. And the major is what? The image of Christ in a bride. Coming into fullness by proving he is in our midst, which comes in the greater fullness when the bride is changed right here on earth to meet him at the wedding supper. Now, watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. Look, it works in anybody. You can get thrown by what Brother Branham is saying. He is talking about his own particular ministry. When at any time did my thus saith the Lord ever fail? Thus saith the Lord is the word of God. At that particular time, thus saith the Lord, I am telling you something. Watch this happen in order to get this. Then walk right into the living word itself that feeds your soul and takes you on. That's why Pentecostals say, well, I am in the word. It says in Mark 16, and I've got the signs following. But how do you come against what comes before the word that vindicates the man that's got the right to say it? Well, it goes right over there. Well, you don't understand. See, I went to the word and I said, so-and-so, believe me, there are three gods. Yep. One person, but three gods. Oh, man, I got two kidneys and they're not one kidney. They may function as one, but they are not one kidney. They are two kidneys. And thank God I got them. No Trinitarianism. How can a messenger sent from God just believe some of the Scripture and not all the Word? There, he's telling you right there. Deny part of it. These guys deny a part. The true prophet will proclaim the Word in the last days. Denominations will hate him. He will not pull any punches. He will be like he was when he came at the first coming of Christ. That's Elijah. You generation of vipers. But the predestinated will hear him and make ready for the countdown. The royal seed of Abraham's faith, like him, holding to the word of God regardless, for he was predestinated. The messenger Malachi 4 will appear at God's appointed time. We are looking for him. We believe he will come. That is according to his word. It'll be at the end time, which is now time for to see it. That throws everybody because they don't look at the last part, which is now time for him to, now time for to see it. If it's now time, are you seeing or are you not seeing? Boy, you talk about throwing a curve. They love to have it, and they'll pick the curve up. Take it every time. Try to get the ball out of the ball. Whoosh, strike one. Whoosh, strike two. Whoosh, strike three. You're out. Well, that's right. Three last time messengers. Serpents eat all the strikes out. He will be correctly dedicated to the Word as they have always been, indicated by God's Word. In other words, if that man doesn't come according to the Bible, forget him. And when he does come, he'll hit that word exactly where it is. Word, 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 word. The unchanged, as our brother Bram said, God, this is God's word, and you cannot fool with it, you cannot change it, because it's the unchanging word of the unchanging God, and God will fulfill it. Don't try to hybridize it, just leave it. Leave it. God will take care of his word. Now, and vindicated. God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth as he did Elijah. For it is Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. And Brother Branham himself said, tell me one time it was ever proven wrong. Ha, ha, then he's Elijah, right? You know, people grab this and they make everything out of it, even those that say they believe Brother Branham. He is illustrating and telling, according to what was previous, what is now, because those things remain the same in principle. Which of the prophets have they not repudiated and destroyed if they could destroy them? He came on his own received him not. How did he come other times? By the prophet. He that received whomsoever I send receiveth me. Behold, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. How often are they gathered together? He gathers them by the word of those men, especially the prophet. And you would not. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are being gathered right now by the word that God gave through William Branham, a vindicated man, a vindicated word, and this is it. This is where Brother Branham, knowing what you and I do not know, in the depth of which he knew it, he was so reverenced, it was so awe-inspiring. That's why when he inadvertently told a lie, didn't even mean to do it, when the guy put a bunch of pecans in his car in Georgia, and he went into through the border of Arizona, where you cannot bring nuts and fruit in and all because they watch the bugs and the viruses and things coming in, those, you know, terrible things that come in on the fruit crops and all. If you got anything, he said, no, not a thing. He hadn't known someone put a pound of pecans in there, a few pounds, whatever they were. He got home and he found him. He drove back 200 miles and said, I'm sorry I told a lie. Here's the pecan. He could have just as well burned him. But he's making a point of a testimony. Not as some self-righteous, legalistic person. No way, shape, and form. Now, God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth as he did Elijah. For it's Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. Jesus said in the last days, it would be like Lot's time. Now you're right into the place there. Lot's time is what? Sodomy. The Sodomites controlling the government. A few Sodomites control our government. And in there, not only controlling from the viewpoint of sodomy, they're controlling from the viewpoint of abortion, which is murder. So that means they're getting rid of the babies. Have sex all you want is fine. Get rid of the babies. Have sex all you want. These guys out here, the heterosexuals so-called, which they are, will now become bisexual. 80,000 babies shortly will be born with AIDS. I bet right now there's 80,000. They're liars. They always have lied and always will lie. So what do you got? The earth is being wiped out. Just like in the days of Noah. It said God repented, he'd made man. The word repent means feel sorry for. Yeah. That's one of the meanings. So and age is where you rot in your body while you're standing there. Oh, and notice the great luminaries are sodomites. Are you wearing a pair of yellow shirt? He just died. He's a sodomite. What are you thinking now you're in? Oh, great dancer. Oh, yeah, he danced your way right into hell. Sodomite. You know, the Bible says that Jonathan loved David, and their love was greater than woman. He was a sodomite, according to sodomites today. Galileo was a sodomite. No doubt Edison was a sodomite. The Mormons got Jesus Christ with two wives. At least they did better. I'm telling you what religion is today. Cursing and spitting in God's face. And they say, we got the right to call on God. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hell is another name. Yeah, they may blast us all down. If they do, maybe they take us quick. I don't know. Boreless and oil. I hope not, but who knows? We are not an endangered species. We may be very few in number, but we are not endangered. You know why? For God shall see his own seed. The Bible said so. And a generation shall be appointed unto him for a seed. That's why Brother Branham saw everybody 16 to 19 years of age standing there in the glory they never had in their youth. One generation. Over 6,000 years. We never were young, we never were old, we are eternal. And this is not some Shangri-La or the Huns of Vision. You know those Hunses were 130 years old? A bunch of liars. You know how they got to be 130 years old? They didn't want to be dragged off to war by the commies. So they sent the records in. This is my name. They gave their father's name. Oh, your father. Okay. He's 67 years old. We don't want him. And the guy was 30. Or 20. Mystery solved. We got apricots from Hunza. You can have Hunza by the dozen. Isn't going to be good. You can send for their favorite fruit and flowers. You need it. Ain't going to be any good. You've been the victim of a lousy, stupid book. The health food mongers are no better than the guys that monger you for something else. Oh, I believe in health foods, too. Try and get them. Because one guy said there's more health food come out of a health food store than goes in. That's right. That's the same as a priest. You know, he didn't have any meat and fish that day, so he took duck and he christened it Haddock. It was fish and he ate it. Yeah, that's him. That's your health food stuff, the gimmicks. Now, there's certainly good things that are good for you. We can prove that by honest people. But I want to show you the whole world is gimmickry. Now, I want to read you just a second here. If we run over time, we run over time. I want to get this finished. We're in a world of man. All right, Elijah's behavior, Moses' behavior, John's behavior, leaving their old field of service. Many people didn't understand them. It was because they rejected their message. The seed had been sown. Judgment was next. There it is. And there was a sign to the people from God that judgment was at hand. What is it? The sowing of the seed that needed vindication. Planting was over. Now what happens? The reaper catches up with the planter. It's over. I believe someday the Bible, the real bride of Christ will be forced to stop preaching the word. The Bible promised in Revelation 13:16, denomination will force them to take its mark. Then as the Lamb will take his bride and judge the whore for the seed, pressure again, squeeze come down. Remember Moses born for the work, had to wait on God for the extra gift. Aha, Brother Branham had three. And go back and wait. For the time appointed to God, by God, a certain Pharaoh had to be on the throne. And remember, God had to bring the people out to give them the word. The whole thing is that. And the people had to be wanting the bread of life before God would send him back. See, they wanted that and didn't know what they wanted. And remember, the people cried, oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. The man that was the head of the paper, Brother Moore, Brother Branham came right here. God answered his prayer. And Brother Branham said, oh, God, send a prophet. Not that one, Lord. Oh, God, send another prophet. What do you want for nickel? You know something? There's going to be more answered prayers thrown in the face of the people on Judgment Day than that fill all the libraries in the world. Well, I'm going to miss my guess on that one. I'm just guessing, but I wonder. All right. The people wanted the bread of life, didn't know it. Now with thousands of sign workers in the last day, has created a generation of sign seekers that knows nothing about the true move of God in His Word in these last days. As I've said, give them blood and oil and fleshly demonstration on the platform. They'll support it whether it's God's Word or not, whether it's Scripture or not. Jesus has warned us of such things at the end time. As I have said in Matthew 24, two spirits very close alike, deceive the very elected if possible. How can you tell them? Give them the Word test. How can you know it? Speak the Word. See what they say about it. They say about it. If they don't believe the word, they have no seed germ in them. They are of the evil one and deceive you. As the first bride was deceived, then the second bride was deceived. They're deceivers of the third bride by hybridizing the word or trying to do it, and they can't do it to the true bride. People have come to this church from another church, and I said to them, all right, this guy gave them the word test. Flunked it every time. Why did they come? Because it wasn't the other place. I don't care what they manifest. Well, I got a big church. I got this. I got that. Fool, you can have it. I just want what God has for me, if I can only get it. If I can only have it, that's all I want. I don't want to be John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. I don't want to be William Branham. I don't want to be Lee Dale. I want to be a seed of God, and hopefully I am, and somehow the grace of Almighty God's got a place for me, and He'll do it all, because I can't do it. I've given up. God never placed signs ahead of His word. Amen, see? That's it. Now, right on down here. Right going further, further, further. This man correctly vindicated. This man fulfilling all the scripture concerning him, And now Brother Branham says that the end time prophecies will repeat. In other words, all these things I'm talking about, there's a repetition. I believe as the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, "Behold the Lamb of God," the second forerunner will probably do the same, probably, he said now, by pointing the people to the word born bride, which he's already done. The bride of Christ will be pointed to the skies at the appearing of Jesus, screaming, "Behold the Lamb of God," will come forth in his lips. Now, remember this. This is the appearing. Well, I believe, Brother Bill, that's a rapture. You believe 100% wrong, because that's the second coming. Now, if you want to believe a world dogma backed up by Pentecostal whodunits, that's your privilege. Be my guest. If you want to be a Baptist, be my guest. Be anything you want, but you will not be correctly one of us who follow a vindicated prophet with the pillar of fire, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul, here revealing that word the second time, which is the former rain, come again, the teaching rain. And this is the appearing. And Brother Branham has pointed to him and said, just think, telling us that as Moses, God went down to Egypt with Moses, not only appearing in signs and wonders, but he himself also appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai, so today, and we have his picture. Do what you want. Get your chronology lined up. This is the great deep mystery. What about that rapture? What about that appearing? It's already taking place. You've seen your last sign. This is a time of rest. Oh, Brother Bear, God will labor and fast and pray and do this and do that. I want to get me gifts. I want that. Oh, be my guest, but please don't bother me with them. I get letters from people, especially women. They always want to run off the little doctrines here and there and read this book and that book. You up there, honey, you hear me on the tape because you get them. Forget it. Don't send me more of your letters and your books. I'm not interested. Don't even spend enough time with the Word, let alone that tripe. What do you think I'm 78 years of age for? Though I don't know nothing at all? Well, pretty close to none, but you know something. I knew him. I received him. That means a lot. Whether I believe him right or not, I sure believe him. Yep. What was my great regret being with Brother Branham? I wasn't with him enough. I misread him. I wouldn't have had to wait for the last minute to say, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What do you really mean? What this and what that? But I'll tell you one thing. As soon as I knew what the real baptism was, how it really came, I understood seed just opened like that. You see, if you take the truth and that truth really strikes, brother, sister, it isn't just one little teeny little sprout that comes up. It begins to flourish. Where it becomes a takeover until the word of God is fulfilled in you and me. He said, God help us to be ready for this near event. For this near event? What's he talking about? He starts in the last days. He's going simply to Scripture. Then he goes right back to the same Scripture, last days. Starting with what was called the near event. Ending with what is called the near event. It is the here event. And people don't understand it. Brother Branham said, that's the trouble with the world and that's the trouble with the church. All the time looking back, all the time looking forward. Haven't got a clue what's going on. I said that to one man, the message, you had everything all fixed up where Brother Branham had to come back. Had to come back, that's fine. He'll be back. If he don't come back, neither you nor me or the rest have got any hope at all. They forget that whole thing. I was a little bit huffy with him because he was putting all this. I said, you're just like all the rest. I got a little bit anger. He didn't like me from that point on. He thought I was a real mean, queer guy. And all I said, just hold it. All the time looking back, all the time looking forward. And you know you do that, what's in between will get you every single time. You'll fall for it like a lame duck. Why don't you look at what's before you? Just stick with it. Well, the guy finally did come around and say, well, he said, I learned one lesson. He said, not to try to think I knew something and just leave it with God. What are you looking at this morning? Let me tell you something. If you start with that vindicated prophet, with the vindicated word, and you believe with all your heart that that's where it all lies, even though you get fussed, and I get very fussed at times, very, very perturbed, very agitated in my spirit, because I want to know things, and I know better than to press and try to make an issue. Just get rid of all those feelings. Just anchor back on the word of what we saw vindicated. Because, brother, sister, let's face it. When it's all over, what have you got to do that's anything different? If you don't believe this with all your heart, you're going to have to believe something else with all your heart. You got to rest on something. At least I want to know I'm resting on what was vindicated in God's manifestation. Whether or not I am a part of it, God being my judge, at least I should come up in the second resurrection. And we'll tell you about that right here in this sermon. It's all there. Let's rise and be done. You may have to wait a bit for dinner. That's all right. Not going to kill you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, time to go. Another day, as far as messages are concerned, may be over. But certainly the benefits of the same is not over on the ground. If I have said the right thing from this word, I believe I have, Lord. I prayed that I wouldn't. I believe I had, at least for the sake of the people. And if I don't have it myself, I believe they would have it because, Lord, it doesn't matter who you use. That's the fact, although we believe you'd use a germ carrier like Philip to bring the word. Yet, Lord, I believe this is the word that was vindicated. Trusting with all my heart it was said right in the right spirit and all. Help us all as a people, Lord, to thoroughly ingest the word into our very souls and then see it come forth into eternal life. And in that day, Lord God, that living word that made Moses' face to shine, that made Jesus Christ there transfigured, Elijah and Moses with him. In this day, it's going to do the same thing because it's the same word to the same seed. And the great germ seed himself, the lovely Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God thoroughly manifested in him and through him and for us. Now, Lord, we've seen a repeat of that to the Gentiles. How can there be any error, Lord, to a bride? We know there will not be. By your grace, Lord, we would see every single one in faith sealed in this morning to the lovely word, germ bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not one miss, one iota of any of the good word or good promise of God. Not only in faith, understanding, and believing the word, but laying up treasures in heaven and loving you by loving each other as a true family of Christ with real respect, sincerity, compassion, O God, doing your will, and then serving you, Lord, by serving each other, knowing that this is what the manifestation amongst us is all about. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.